The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, April 24th through Sunday, April 30th, 2023. The commentary for the month of April was written by Kim Becker, a priest and poet of Euro and Cherokee descent who serves in North Dakota. She is a former hospice and ICU trauma chaplain and is trained as a racial healer. The commentary for this Monday, April 24th, begins as follows. From the first letter of John, chapter 6, verse 6b, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I'm not one who enjoys admitting when I've made a mistake. I know I am prideful that way. I'm trying to trust the Creator to guide me and help me get out of my own way so I can more closely follow God's will and not my own. But I have been guilty of holding on to things for too long because I was sure that if I just tried hard enough, I could force things to work. Again, this is my own hubris. I have always hated the phrase, let go and let God, because I wanted to do things my way. Well, needless to say, my way was not always life-giving. When I stopped trying to force what I wanted and instead surrendered myself to what God wanted, things got easier and my path became clearer. This is not to say there are no longer challenges, but when I recognized the spirit of truth, it made it clear that I had been operating in the spirit of error, not out of malice or intended disobedience, but out of stubbornness. God never misleads us, but will lead us into the spirit of truth if we allow it. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of the first letter of John from chapter 3, verse 19 through chapter 4, and verse 6. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before Him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey His commandments and do what He pleases and what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit that He has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. Little children, you are from God and have conquered them, for the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And the moving forward question for this Monday, April 24th, is how are you at letting go and letting God? What steps might you take to surrender to God's desires for your life? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, April 25th, the Feast of St. Mark. It begins with a passage from the Gospel to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Here's the commentary. In our corporate confession, we ask forgiveness for things done and left undone. Maybe we lied by doing something contrary to our deepest values, or maybe we lied because it was easier than starting an argument or explaining ourselves. But we are called to reconcile ourselves to God and neighbor and to our inner being. That is why we offer ourselves, our souls, our bodies as a living sacrifice when we come to communion. Becoming beloved community is predicated on being in right relation with ourselves, with our neighbor, and with God. Yet healing cannot happen if we as a church do not first confess complicity in horrors such as the cultural genocide at government boarding schools. By speaking the truth in love, we let the Creator's love embolden us to fulfill our baptismal covenant to strive for justice and peace and respect the dignity of every person. And now I'm going to read from the passage from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 8, and also verses 11 to 16. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. And the moving forward question for this day is, Jesus was often in conflict with religious and political authorities because he spoke the truth in love. Will we claim the authority of our baptism to do the same? And now the commentary for Wednesday, April 26th, that begins with a passage from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, chapter 5, verse 5. Immediately the fingers of a human hand appeared and began writing on the plaster of the wall. We've all heard the phrase, the writing is on the wall. It's shorthand for something obvious that must be accepted. But I wonder how often we resist seeing the writing on the wall. In my case, it took 25 years for me to admit that I needed to get divorced because my marriage was no longer sacramental. All the signs were there, but I ignored them. I did not want to be a failure in marriage like my parents had been. That's when a priest friend told me that sometimes till death do us part can also mean the death of a relationship. I know not everyone reading this will agree. We each have our own journeys, but I believe God did not want me to live a life of misery. Is there writing on the wall in your own life today? Is there a change you need to make but are scared to do so? Know that God is with you even during those times of transition. While we can ignore the writing on the wall, it doesn't go away. We need not fear whatever the writing says, because Jesus has promised us the Holy Spirit as Comforter. And now I'm going to read from today's Gospel, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 38 through 44. After leaving the synagogue, he entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about her. Then he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately she got up and began to serve them. As the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on each of them and cured them. Demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Messiah. At daybreak, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowds were looking for him. And when they reached him, they wanted to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he continued proclaiming the message in the synagogues of Judea. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, what in your life needs your attention? Now the commentary for Thursday, April 27th, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verse 4b, put out into the deep water. I love the ocean, but I have a fear of deep water and of whatever might live in that deep water. I prefer watching the waves to being in them. On a beach that I visit in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, a red flag often waves from the pole, warning of dangerous riptides. On the other hand, a stone on the way to the steps down to the sand reads, "Deep peace of the running wave be with you." I like to think I am less afraid of the metaphorical depths and shallows. I enjoy going deep into a writing project, into a relationship, into enjoying the gifts of the present moment. But to be honest, when it comes to my relationship with God, I have often stayed in the shallows. It is easy to go it by rote without allowing myself to enter more fully into the vulnerability of a life of faith. There are times to be prudent and avoid deep water, but also times to be secure in the one who is ruddering our ship. And now I'm going to read from the full passage for today's gospel from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and they followed him. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, April 27th, are you ready to move into a deeper relationship with God? Start with a daily practice of reading Scripture and prayer and a weekly practice of corporate worship. And now the commentary for Friday, April 28th. It begins with a passage from Psalm 105, 22b, to teach his elders wisdom. When I served as a hospice chaplain, many of my patients were elderly. Sometimes I would read scripture or play music. Other times we would talk. One gentleman was an avowed atheist who let me visit him anyway, since he loved to talk about his work as a scientist. We agreed that the way he spoke of the universe with such awe was the way I spoke about God. I spent many hours bedside as he shared all he had learned in his life and career. In native cultures, we rely on elders to pass on cultural knowledge to the next generation. The most sacred teachings are not written down, but shared through telling of stories and sharing ceremonies. Many indigenous languages are at risk of dying with the passing of elders. Unfortunately, much of our larger society views elders as expendable, as not contributing, as not worthy of our time and attention. What if instead we considered our elders as treasures, as resources to teach us their wisdom gained over a lifetime? Being old does not confer elder status. Being wise does. And now I'm going to read from the passage today, today's Gospel, chapter 5, from Luke 5, verses 12 through 26. Once, when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one. "Go," he said, "and show yourself to the priest, and as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing, for a testimony to them." But now more than ever the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their diseases, but he would withdraw to deserted places and pray. One day, while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby, and they had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then some men came, carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Then the scribes and Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the one who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, stand up and take your bed and go to your home.' Immediately he stood up before them, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" And the moving forward question for this Friday, sit with a wise friend and listen. And now we turn to the commentary for Saturday, April 29th, the feast day of Catherine of Siena. It begins with a chapter from the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 23. Daniel was taken up out of the den. I've read more than one story about overzealous people climbing enclosures at zoos to get closer to lions and other animals, and those encounters do not always end with the person escaping unscathed. There are so many tragedies and seemingly senseless deaths that it can be hard to read this passage about how an angel shut the lions' mouths so they would not devour Daniel without some skepticism. The pandemic alone has taken untold lives. Not everyone escapes the lions' dens. So why do we read or retell these stories over and over? I think it is so that we will have heroes to look to, miraculous stories to hold on to for hope, even when our own lives seem hopeless. Yes, God can work miracles, but we also know not everyone is delivered from danger. My son loved this story when he was little. I loved it too. I still love it for different reasons, rather than the frisson of terror I felt as a child. I feel thankful for this example of God's working signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. And now we're going to read from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, chapter 6, verses 16 through 28. Then the king gave the command, and Daniel was brought and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you faithfully serve, deliver you." A stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, so that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No food was brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day the king got up and hurried to the den of lions. When he came near the den where Daniel was, he cried out anxiously to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you faithfully served, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Daniel then said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no wrong." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. The king gave a command, and those who had accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the den of lions. They, their children, and their wives. Before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples and nations of every language throughout the whole world, "May you have abundant prosperity. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion people should tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, for he has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And the moving forward question for this day is, which Bible stories give you hope, especially when you are feeling hopeless? And now we'll conclude this week's Reflections program with the commentary for Sunday, April 30th, the fourth Sunday of Easter. It begins with a passage from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verses 23. "When he was abused, he did not return abuse." Today is the birthday of someone who used to be a dear friend, but who, for reasons known only to him, has ghosted or disappeared from my life. I know from others he is alive and well, but being summarily dumped after a decades-long friendship hurt. I was tempted to return hurt for hurt, but I know I cannot control another's actions or decisions. For those of us who are survivors of abuse, we know how readily we can be triggered by someone's thoughtless comment or tone of voice. For some of us, even the traditional patriarchal language of scripture and liturgy can feel uncomfortable. Having endured pain, we can continue to suffer, especially if we do not seek help. However, we are not victims. We are survivors. And rather than just surviving, God calls us, all of us, to thrive, no matter what might have happened to cause our souls to shrink in fear. We can know that God always calls us to new life. I miss my friend, but friendship is not one way. It must be reciprocal. So, too, it is in our relationship with God. God doesn't demand anything of us, but invites our praise and our prayers. And now I'm going to read from the full passage for this fourth Sunday in Easter from 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he was suffered, he did not threaten. When he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And the moving forward question for this day, how is God calling you to a new life? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center of Action and Contemplation. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.